That's what we're supposed to do. And let them think you're a fool. As Peter warned, there would come the times when, you know, people would say, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they have from the foundation of the world. You know, everything is continued the same. The laws of nature are the same. Look at 2,000 years. Not quite, more like, you know, since Christ left, it's been like 1900 and, I don't know, 80 some odd years. Since the apostles died, even less. And give it another 70 plus years or so. I mean, John was quite old when he passed. Another 70 years to that. You know, we may just be at the beginning of another end generation, right? But I live my life with the admonition that I am walking under the end of the earth. My life is going to end, and the world, and when, you know what? When it ends, the next thing I'm going to know is the world to come. I don't mean I'm going to die and go to heaven. I'm going to die, and my soul's going to rest in hell. Because that's where souls go to rest. You know? Jesus, when he died, he went to hell. Not the hell of mythology. Not the hell of the Catholic Church. Or of those other churches. The hell of Scripture. In Scripture there are two words. Well, three translated hell. Well, four if you count the Old Testament. But I'm speaking of the hell of the grave. The soul will go there. In fact, Paul's going to teach us about it. I can't wait. But I'm going to come to the end of my world. And the next thing I know will be the world to come. Christ is going to come. The next thing I know after I die, Jesus Christ is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and I will rise from my grave. That'll be the next thing I know after I die. That's why I know these near-death experiences are just nonsense. You know why? And they all call them near-death. Because they're only near-death. They're not really dead. Because if they were really dead, they would sleep a dreamless sleep. That's what the scriptures say. Now, people want to argue about their experiences and so on. I know as well as anyone, you can't argue with experience, okay? And so I won't. But I know this. This is what the scripture teaches. And this is what I believe. So I go with the scriptures. If you want to believe the testimony of other men, then fine. I will believe the testimony of the apostles and prophets. And just however that falls out, that falls out. So, these things are written for our admonition. I mean, the things in the Old Testament, the warnings, the prophets, Moses, it was written to admonish us on whom the ends of the world are come. The end of the world is come to me. I am an end time prophet. I prophesy of the end of time. The end of this age, you know, the end of this world, the end of the world is aionon, the end of the age is what he's saying. Now, you know, because again, the world, the universe isn't going to end, but this age is going to come to an end. And certainly when I die, my age is over, you know. If it goes on for another 1,000 years, you know what, at my death, the 20th century, 21st century period that I live in, is going to vanish, and it'll be gone, and the end of my age has come. Okay, not that he was Paul. I don't even know if he was thinking of it like that. Really, you know, he was probably. They all were. Why would they expect anything except a soon return? Because that's all God ever talked about. You know, Jesus said, "I'm the Son of Man." Is a man taking a long journey? When someone takes a long journey, you expect them to be back. You know, I don't know. Like Marco Polo went on a long journey and he was gone for years, right? But he still came back in the lifetime of the people who knew him, right? People say, Jesus says he's going on a long journey. You don't think like, oh, well, 2,000 years, he's probably going halfway across the galaxy, you know, or something like that. You don't think like that. So if we're misled of the Spirit. Because I look around, generation after generation of Christians think they're in the end times. Eventually, you wonder, well, how do we deal with this? Do we just start saying it's not? And we just start unbelieving? No. I perceive that this is how God intended that it should be. And let the mockers mock. Well, they get off where people get me, it says, when they start, you know, trying to prove that this is the end times right now, and we're not in the end times. Though the end of the age is upon us. Oh, the end of the age is upon us. And are we in the end times now? No, but I hope that it may come in my lifetime. Even on the earth. Not just through the, you know, through the grave. I mean, I want to live in those times. I've always felt, and I've always desired, I want to be a prophet in the end times. I don't want to be a prophet. I mean, I want to be a prophet no matter what, but I don't, you know, I wanted to be end times, not just my times, right? And that great and terrible day of the Lord. That's what we want to serve. Hey, everyone does, right? Well, except for the people who want to run away in the rapture and that nonsense. We'll be getting to that in chapter 15. Let's continue. Verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You can fall. What did Peter say in 2 Peter chapter 1? Oh, he said, so what do you have to take heed to that you fall not? I mean, what do you got to do? Make sure you don't go looking for manna on the Sabbath? What do you got to do? Make sure you don't whine about, well, what did they do? We want food. We're so sick of this manna. If we only had some meat, and God sent meat, and then he killed the fat people in them. He killed the fattest ones while the meat was in their mouth. That's pretty scary. That I would fear. Oh, Lord, I need a car. I need a car. Don't be foolish. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst after the greater gifts. Lust after good things. And God will be pleased with you. You know, because I'm going to read from 2 Epistle of Peter, chapter 1 again, verse 4. Because to me, this is the heart of what I like to teach. There are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. That's what the crown we're running for. We want to partake. What is the divine nature? Oh, eternal life. Oh, righteousness, godliness, okay? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How do you escape the corruption of the world? Well, through the faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. But I haven't actually escaped yet. I know.